Okay, I have something really juicy for you today. You know that house that was once featured on the Bravo network on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? The house that they rented for a girls' trip? Well, I have rented this house for a women's retreat taking place June 21st through the 25th. And this house is a 6,000 square foot luxury villa in the foothills of Santa Barbara. So you can find all the information for the retreat at projectimpactretreat.com. I'll see you there. Hello and welcome back to Tech Champagne. My name is Elisa Purdy and I am your host. And today we're digging into the good, the bad, and the ugly of plant management. So I think this is something that's really not talked about enough. You know, we hear a lot about sales, how to sell, how to, you know, generate more revenue, create offers, all the fun things in business, but we don't talk a lot about what happens in your relationship with your client after the work begins. So there's a lot of things that go really right when you're working with your clients, and there's also a lot of things that can go really wrong. So we're going to talk today about your ideal client avatar, and it's different than what you think it's going to be. We're also going to talk about ways to protect yourself and your business should a client relationship go sour. So I want to share some things I've learned in my business and things that I see other people do that leads to a really healthy, successful client relationship, because it should be healthy for both parties. It should be successful for both parties. It's going to mean different things to you and to your client, certainly, but it should be fun and should be productive, and there should be forward motion. So I'm going to start off by talking about the things that can be a little bit challenging, things that we don't really see coming when we start a business. So three things that you actually have to do in your business outside of teaching what it is that you're good at, right? Whatever your program is designed around, whatever zone of genius that you are imparting on your clients, there's also some management that needs to happen. So three things we're going to talk about. Managing personalities is a big one. So you can sign all the clients you want to and sell all the offers and really create substantial growth in your business. But if you're not good at managing personalities, you're going to have some challenges. So when I have one-on-one clients, they are all different. There has never been two of the same one-on-one clients in the last 14 years that I've been a business coach. They're all different because we're humans, right? There's so many variables. We're all going through different things in our lives. We all have different passions. We all have different levels of what we're willing to do and how uncomfortable we are willing to be. So managing personalities is a big part of running your business. I've had clients who come to me every week and sit and cry, almost like a therapy session, because they're trying to move through something really difficult so that they can move on to growing a business. I'm here for that. I certainly want to encourage them to also work on the tangibles of the business. But if you need to vent and cry and work through your shit, I'm here for that. We're all humans. And as women, we relate to each other. So I've had people sit and cry. I've had some people show up to meetings with a very demanding attitude, which honestly doesn't work well in any realm of life, but it happens. And then I also have clients who are somewhere in the middle, who are like really in that sweet spot of going through some stuff, which is inspiring them to go to the next level with their business or their life. They've also, you know, they got to cry through some things, but they also are really kind and they work super hard. They're focused. They reach out to me. I've had clients, one client every meeting, she brought me Starbucks to every meeting. I told her it wasn't necessary, but just like acts of kindness was something, acts of service was something that really made her happy. So you're going to have clients who are all over the map. Certainly the ones that get the best results in my experience, I mean, I could generalize, but I only can speak for myself, are the ones that do the work and that are willing to be uncomfortable and that are not demanding and don't expect the work to be done for them. Okay, so let's file those things under managing personalities. Okay, the second of the three is managing expectations. So you're going to have some clients who expect you to do all the work. You'll have some clients and don't expect you to do any of the work. You'll have some clients who expect, you know, if you're teaching course creation like I do, for it to be done in a day, or some clients who don't want it to be done quickly. It's sort of all over the map. So you'll have some people who think, oh, this is too much work, as they get halfway through and they quit. Or you'll have some clients who want more and sign on with you again. it's all over the map. So managing expectations is super important. It's really important to disclose those in your sales calls. They should be outlined in your contract. It's just really important. Those expectations are imperative to a healthy, symbiotic working relationship. Okay. Third, managing how people learn. So people learn differently. Some people are auditory learners. Some people are visual learners. Some people are tactile learners. So making sure that you have tools for every sort of learner is really important. You have some people that are going to come to you that have severe ADHD, people that can focus like crazy and everywhere in between. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And this is why I only have 5 one-on-one clients at a time, because I need to manage the workload for myself. I also need to manage the workloads for my clients, and I need to account for these varying personalities. So if I have, you know, I have Boxer access for my one-on-one clients 5 days a week. Some people will send me 10 questions a day. Some people will never touch it for the 4 months that we work together. So only allowing 5 people in that container at any one point in time is important, because I have to have flexibility to accommodate all types of clients and all of their needs and all their levels of communication and energy, all the variables, right? We're all humans operating to the best of our abilities. Okay, so those are 3 things that you need to be mindful of when you are starting a business, when you're helping clients. These things come into play more when you have one-on-one containers, but they also can come into play when you are selling group programs as well. So just a little awareness there. Okay, so who are you trying to attract? Let's go down this list here. So people will say that you have to have an ideal client. In order to sell successfully, you have to know who you're talking to. Yes, I buy into that. And I also buy into the fact that these people are not cartoons, right? If your new client, your new ideal client should not be based on, you know, age, sex, location, color hair you have, if you're in a 9-to-5, like those things just really don't matter. There are things that are more important, because what we do when we define these avatars of what people look like and what hobbies they have and all this information that really doesn't matter, we are pigeonholing our offer to a person that probably doesn't even exist, right? If we have successful relationships outside of our clients, right? Friends or romantic partners or family. And they're not, we didn't determine who that person would be in order to be our friend. We met them first and then developed the relationship. So let's not close ourselves off to really amazing potential clients. So your ideal client is not an avatar. I'm going to give you some questions to ask yourself that are actually more important than the typical avatar profile. Number one, do they understand what they need? That's going to be really important in your work together. Number 2, do they understand what you support with? Number 3, do they respect personal space? And these are where your boundaries come in. Number 4, do they understand how coaching works? Do they understand that you're not on call, you're not available 24/7? Number 5, are they willing to be uncomfortable? Discomfort leads to frustration. It's part of the growth process, but you have to be willing to get there. Number 6, are they willing to work independently and try new things? Number 7, do they communicate effectively? Number 8, are they flexible and open to switching strategies when needed? Number 9, are they patient and kind? Number 10, are they willing to do new hard work? Again, getting uncomfortable, working through frustration. It's all part of the growth process. So to me, these values are far more important than, you know, age, location, color, hair you have, blah, blah, blah. It's more important that your potential client understands that coaching is guidance and not a done-for-you service. You know, if you are someone who wants to hire a coach and you don't have a website yet or branding yet or email marketing yet, those are different than your coach. Your coach is there to zoom out and help you create the strategy for the longevity of your business. Now, mine is a little bit different. My business is a little bit different. I really zoom in on systems and automation and sales funnels. And yes, I will help you set all of those up. But as we're setting those up, I'm going to give you tasks so that you can dig in as well, because it's not a done-for-you service. I want you to learn how to do it because I will not always be in this contract with you. And when I'm not in this contract with you, I want you to be able to replicate these tasks that you're learning. I want you to be able to take an idea that you had over the weekend and launch a course on Monday. That's what I want you to be able to do. I want to empower you. Basically, I want to teach a man to fish, teach a woman to fish, right? That is the goal. Okay, so let's talk about some things that are going to pop up in your business that kind of are under the management bubble of your clients. So you are going to be in a financial relationship with your clients. That requires a contract. If you're a regular listener here of Tech Champagne, you will hear the name Natalie Puglisi quite often. She is amazing. She does all my legal stuff. She does all the legal templates and contracts for my clients. You have to have these things in place. You have to have them in place. So what happens if someone comes to you and says, I really want to work with you in the one-on-one container, which is typically a highest investment of your offers. And you say, you know, you can do a lump sum. You can do a pay in full of 15K, or you can do 5 monthly payments of 3,000. Those are your options. Someone might come back and say, okay, I really want to work with you. Would you consider extending the payment plan a little bit so the monthly payment is lower? I get that question sometimes. In my business, I don't offer extended payment plans. And here's why. I used to. I'm of the mindset, hey, if you're going to ask me for some flexibility, I love a negotiation. I love someone asking for what they need. I think it can be really empowering. But the 3 times in my business that I have allowed an extended payment plan, all 3 of them have defaulted. So that's all it takes for me. Strike three. So I'm no longer offer extended payment plans on my programs. The payment plan is what it is. And, you know, when I hired a coach for the first time, when I did not have money, I made it happen and I took a payment plan because I needed the flexibility. I'm here for flexibility. And that was her payment plan. And I worked my ass off to make it happen. I worked more in that container than I ever have in my life. And I expect other people to do the same. And I think it's not just that I expect them to do the same, but I know what the payoff is if you work at that level. I know firsthand what the payoff is. So, you know, I have been asked for extended payment plans, and the times that I have granted them, the level of work that needs to be done it wasn't met with the amount of focus that I would expect. So these 3 people came to me and said, I would really love an extended payment plan if you have the bandwidth for that. My business is not growing and I'm having some financial challenges. And so I'm hoping you would consider that. Absolutely. Let's just move forward and work on the business. And yeah, we're going to make it happen. So sometimes what happens when you concede to a longer payment plan or some other sort of accommodation is there can be a disruption in the energy level. So it's very different if someone says, you know, can we cut this in half, the monthly payment in half, rather than this monthly payment is stretchy, I'm going to work my ass off to make it happen. These are very different energies. So for me, with the 3 times that I've done it, it just hasn't worked out very well. So I want you to be aware of your own boundaries. You don't have to offer extended payment plans. You have a contract in place for a reason. And if someone is in non-payment with you, if they have a monthly payment plan and they might communicate this with you, they might not. I've seen both where they say, I'm really sorry, but I can't make my payment this month. You know, what happens next? So according to your contract, you want to follow your contract, certainly. And you don't have to cancel a payment plan. If you have an automated system, which you absolutely should, that is processing cards every month, you don't have to pause the payment plan if someone asks you to do that. Your contract will outline what your rights are and what the client's rights are. So it's all there in writing. So if someone comes to me and says, I'm really sorry, but I can't make my payment this month, I will respond via email. So it's in writing. I will say, unfortunately, I can't continue with meetings if your payment isn't made. And here's what our contract says, copy paste in the email. And then I will say, if you'd like to update your card, change your card, then we can move forward. Please let me know how you'd like to proceed. That is how I address those. So it's important for people to know that you're not the magic fix for financial problems. So if someone comes to you and says, my business is not producing, I'm having a hard time getting leads, so I'm going to hire you so that I can start paying my bills. Well, that's not the right energy, number one. They should come to you and say, I need to get uncomfortable and I want to learn everything from you so that I can work harder and put these things into place and start selling more of my offers. Yes, but the responsibility for those sales is not on the coach, it's on the client. So you're going to have a lot of different types of clients. And it's important for you as a coach or a course creator or a business owner to really disconnect from the client's results. Of course, we all want our clients to be successful. We do. I put my blood, sweat, and tears into my clients. But I also cannot control a lot of what's happening on the other end, right? I can't control the amount of work that they're doing. I can't control if their offers are strong. I can't control whether or not they're willing to go back to the drawing board and restructure an offer. I can't control these things. So while, yes, I 100% want my clients to do well and make a bunch of money with a business that lights them up and makes them happy every day, I can't control the outcome. So we really have to disconnect from the client results and maintain that business relationship. Like I said, you're going to have all different types of clients. Some that are willing to do the work and some that are not. And everywhere in between. So your goal as the coach is to support your clients to the best of your ability while also maintaining healthy boundaries, respecting your contract, and delivering. That's your responsibility as a coach. So I hope this episode is helpful to you. I don't think it's talked about enough. I think the management inside of your business, the client management, obviously it's really important, but I don't think enough people talk about the issues that might come up in client contracts. And again, get your contract in order. If you don't have one, let me know. I will connect you with Natalie Puglisi. She is lovely, so that you can have the type of business that you want and attract the kinds of clients that you want to work with and who want to work with you, right? It goes both ways. So, okay. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tech Champagne. I will see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for spending your time with me today. I hope this episode brought you exactly what you needed. If you had fun today, be sure to hit the subscribe button or leave me a review. Your support means the world to me and it helps other women entrepreneurs find the show as well. And if you're looking for a free place to connect and learn more about creating your own six-figure online business, check out my Facebook group, Empowered Entrepreneurs. See you on the next episode.